Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Very lively conversation with Chris Sanders. You know I love him. But I am a little worried. You know, when he's telling me that I don't need to draft Brock Bowers because I've got Chig Okonkwo, I worry about toxic positivity. Ian, are you familiar with toxic positivity?
A little, yeah.
It is a thing when you are so positive that you basically ignore reality. And after yesterday's conversation on this program about if Drake May were to fall to 7, and if I said I would take him and try to trade Levis, I was so disappointed by how many Titan fans were so gung-ho about texting into this show or calling into this show and saying that, you know, why would we do that, Jared? Will Levis is a franchise quarterback. And I'm like, what? He's what? A franchise quarterback? You have seen the over-under win totals for this team, right? I think it's 5.5. Vegas is telling you they think Will Levis sucks. Now, I don't think Will Levis sucks, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if Levis is going to make it, and I don't know if Levis is going to fail. This time last year, I knew Malik Willis wasn't going to make it. But then it takes me to the actual people who matter in this equation, not just the coach and the owner and things like that, but it makes me think about the player. Because Titans Twitter can be a very disillusioned place. And I know you guys will say, well, Twitter's not everything, and social media doesn't reflect reality, and these kids today, and Levis is a kid. When I sat down with him at the Super Bowl, my biggest takeaway was like, man, this kid, he's a baby. You know, I used to be a young guy, and now I'm a middle-aged guy, and he is a child. These kids read social media, and you know Levis does. And I fear that Will Levis is living in the Titan fan optimistic reality where he thinks he's actually accomplished something in the NFL. And the owner does no favors when she talks him up, and the idea of the fan, oh, he's our guy, he's a franchise quarterback, he hasn't done anything in the NFL. You know, the best kind of guys are the guys that are driven by the fear of failure. Nick Saban never, ever, ever talks about all the national championships he's won. That was never his mentality. He's always worried about the next. I read a book about Nick Saban that after LSU won the national title when he was the head coach, he went up to Matt Mock, the then quarterback, in the locker room and said, are you coming back next year or are you going to the draft? He had already moved on. And I'm not saying that's a way to live if you want to be happy, but that is a way to live if you want to be successful. The old saying with Tom Brady, which Super Bowl was his favorite? The next one. But when it comes to Will Levis, I understand the idea of having confidence that you could do it, and that's great. And I understand the idea of saying, hey, my team supports me, that's great. But I think there's a difference between having confidence you can perform in the NFL and thinking that you've arrived. Because Will Levis hasn't done that. He's 3-6 as a starting quarterback. He got injured twice. He lost to Kenny Pickett and a JV Texans team. Okay? Like, that's his resume right now in the NFL. And I'm not saying that that means he's going to be bad. Peyton Manning was 3-13 as a rookie. I'm not saying that means he's going to be bad. I'm just saying that means he hasn't arrived. And I know that. And everybody with a brain knows that. But Titans Twitter thinks Will Levis is on his way to superstardom. And if Will Levis thinks that that's true, and if Will Levis thinks, oh, no, the owner thinks I'm a franchise quarterback. You know, I heard him do a podcast, and he talked about, you know, this offseason, it's my team. And it's like, dude, like, you need to be afraid of what happens if you don't do well this year. Because every single person outside of Nashville thinks Will Levis sucks. And I don't think that's fair by any stretch of the imagination, but that is what they think. And so, look, everything that happened last year, there were a lot of positives. There were a lot of negatives. That's going to happen for the most part with a rookie quarterback. Some of those negatives could have been somebody else's fault. Vrabel, Tim Kelly, drafting a guard with the 11th pick, whatever. But just knowing how the young kids are today, just knowing how much they read that social media stuff, knowing the phone calls we took on the show yesterday, the texts I got, Twitter. How could you possibly think about taking Drake May, a guy who, by almost all of these gurus, is the second best prospect in this draft? How could you possibly think about taking Drake May when you've got the great Will Levis as your quarterback? You mean the great Will Levis that you didn't even think was so great? You drafted a guard before you drafted him. And it would not surprise me if Levis's head resided in the same space that is the Titans social media echo chamber of, he's a franchise quarterback, Jared, let Rand cook. It would not surprise me if his head lived there. And I'm praying it does not. I'm praying his head lives in the space where all he thinks about is how every team in the NFL, including the one he's on, told him this time last year, we don't think you're very good. That is where I hope his head lives. And I don't know where it lives or where it doesn't, but I'm worried that this echo chamber of positivity is going to give him a false sense of security or a false sense of accomplishment. 615-737-1025. We will get to your phones at 615-737-1025. Meanwhile, Kaharski was yelling and screaming. I mean, just yelling today about, again, we're just going over draft situations and what happens if Drake May, a guy who most people think is the number two quarterback in this class, number two player maybe in this class, about what happens if he falls. He was yelling and screaming. We'll get to the yelling and screaming, and we'll do that next. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
Do you run the risk of passing on the next Patrick Mahomes? Yes. But you can't draft, no matter what everybody says, you can't draft quarterback 3 years in a row when you have trading up twice. When you're in desperation for other positions that any quarterback is going to need, be it Drake May or Will Levis. You have to get a left tackle. You have to get a wide receiver. You have to get an edge rusher. You have to get all these other things. And it's ridiculous to think, well, we'll just take another quarterback who's not a sure thing. You have to cycle.
Unless you're, well, I agree with you, unless you are believe he's a sure thing.
Right. And then Caroline said, well, then you trade Levis. I mean, if she falls into this thing like, well, everybody wants the guy that you no longer want. I mean, so you turn the guy that you traded for big resources. You spend a second. You traded, I don't remember what, your second and this year's third. And you trade him for a fourth or a fifth. Nobody's interested in Will Levis anymore. They've moved on to this year's quarterback class.
That was PK this morning yelling and screaming about yesterday's topic of if Drake May falls to the Titans at 7, do you take him? I say yes. If Brian Callahan likes him, you take him. And PK's saying that you can't draft Drake May because no team is allowed to draft a quarterback 3 years in a row. Says who? I mean, I didn't look up the bylaws this morning, but I have a pretty good feeling that you're allowed to draft a quarterback 3 years in a row if you want to do it. And it's okay to say, hey, we like the guy we have now, but we love this guy. Isn't that what you want your team to do? Well, we got a guy here, but we can get a better guy. Go get the better guy, right? And when it comes to quarterback, when you pick one of these guys, you're putting your career on that guy, especially if you're a general manager. If you're a head coach, you might get a second shot. Brian Callahan might get fired, go be an offensive coordinator somewhere else, and get a second chance. GMs, I mean, there was no second shot for Floyd Reese, and he was a pretty good one. So I have two thoughts here. Number one, there's the trade. that Paul's saying, you know, well, you know, okay, you take May and then you trade Levis and nobody's going to want Levis, so you're not going to get as good of a pick in return. So is the goal here to win football games, or is the goal to manage your assets the best? Because if the goal is to manage your assets the best, then maybe, okay, well, we use this pick for this and we use this for this. If the goal is to win football games, the point is, can you find a franchise quarterback? That's the question. So I think, just given the state of the league, you could get a second rounder in next year's draft for Will Levis. I really do. Because once the first four quarterbacks go, after that, there's going to be teams that want a young quarterback that don't have a young quarterback that might trade you next year's second, a 25 second, in order to go with Levis. Denver is the team that stands out to me the most. But let's say that Paul's right, and Levis goes for a fifth rounder. Let's just use that. Then in order to get Drake May, when you factor in Will Levis and the losing that Will Levis had to do in order for you to be able to get the pick that would allow you to get Drake May, you would have spent a first, a second, and a third for Drake May and a fifth, right? Levis was a second and a third, and you did flop spots, I think, in the third last year. I think you traded down in the third and swapped with Arizona or whoever it was you made the trade with. But a first, a second, a third for your quarterback, and a fifth. Now, let's say Drake May is a franchise quarterback, which a lot of people seem to think that he's going to be. And I'm not just saying like the Mel Kuypers. I'm talking about the guys that have actually done this before. Mark Dominic has him ahead of Jaden Daniels. Rick Spielman has him ahead of Jaden Daniels. I saw there was a scout, you know, or an AFC national scout that did a mock draft for ESPN, or they use scouts to do this mock draft at ESPN today, and they have May going second. So, again, these guys think that Drake May's legit. So, you give up a first, a second, a third for May and a fifth. Well, Patrick Mahomes was two first-rounders and a third. And I got to tell you, a one, and a three, as opposed to a one, a two, and a three, is a much steeper price to pay. And yet, I don't think anybody in Kansas City misses their 2018 first rounder or 2017 third rounder that they didn't have because they spent it on Patrick Mahomes. And then when it comes to, well, you know, you can't pick a quarterback 3 years in a row, why are Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan held accountable for the Malik Willis pick? They didn't make it. Brian Callahan has nothing to do with Malik Willis. The reason that Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon are here is because the people that made that pick aren't here anymore. And you could argue it was for making that pick, I guess. All that matters in the NFL. Now, look, there's multiple ways to skin a cat, and you can win with a good team and an average quarterback, and maybe you can only win so far. But as far as consistently getting into the playoffs and being a perennial contender, the most important thing, and you all know this, is to have a blue-chip quarterback, a franchise guy. That's what this is all about, right? Well, if that's the case, all that matters is that you get the QB. When you tell me, well, yeah, you use the pick on a QB, you're talking about a QB. See, you can live with a tight end. Well, you know, we didn't have a tight end. We went out in free agency. We signed C.J. Uzama, a tight end. A right tackle, Jermaine Illuminor. A cornerback. But when it comes to quarterback, you need the quarterback. And I don't care what you have to pay in order to get it. If you've got the quarterback, you've got a shot. And that's what this is all about again. So I hate this whole lecture of like, you know, oh, well, you can't do that. Okay, well, congratulations. You just, and again, this is if May's that guy, if Brian Callahan's evaluated it and Brian Callahan thinks May's that guy, you do not pass. If you've got the opportunity to get the quarterback, you do not pass on it. That's why he makes millions of dollars. Brian Callahan does now. Makes a lot more money than he made in Cincinnati. This is why. so that you can look at these things, evaluate them, and say, okay, I can coach this guy up. I can make him into a star, and then we've got our quarterback, and we don't have to worry about anything for the next 15 years. That's why you do this. So this idea of like, oh, no, like, you know, they used a second and a third last year. Can't go do that again. Okay, and Andy Reid wanted to draft Paxton Lynch in 2016 and wasn't able to do it. He drafted Mahomes in 17. Now, let's just say Andy Reid had drafted Paxton Lynch in 2016. Think it would have been a bad idea to draft Mahomes in 17? Or would you rather have Mahomes? I think I'd rather have had Mahomes. So, I mean, I get the idea of, oh, yeah, you know, this, you got the quarterback, this, you got the, you know, you've got a quarterback. Right, you've got a quarterback. We don't know if he's going to be a good quarterback. He's just a quarterback. If your evaluation says this guy at the top of the draft, he's going to be the quarterback, you take him. And to me, that's simple. 615-737-1025. I see your phones. We're to them. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. 1025, 1063 the game.
I have Drake May an ounce in front of Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
It's really, really tough. You know, this is also without me having a chance to spend time with him. But you're going to have to make an opinion. If I were to have to make an opinion, that's what I would be, is I would have Drake May just barely above him, even though I love Jaden Daniels. But if you want, you know, the Jaden Daniels type of offense in terms of moving the ball and running the ball around with your quarterback, that's great. And I think you obviously are going to get success there. The only thing with Drake for me a little bit is when I look around Jaden Daniels' skill set around him, it's phenomenal. You know, yep. Drake's isn't at the same par. And I know there's times when you watch Drake May and you're like, what was that? So it's not like, you know, and then you look at Drake May and go, well, who'd he beat? You know, there are easy things to kind of knock down. Every player has faults. And the thing you've got to really kind of look at is what do you like? And I think I look at trying to predict it. And I think Jaden probably goes two. And I think, because I think of what Cliff Kingsbury's worked with. And I think Alex Van Pelt is more with New England, has more of the Drake May type of quarterbacks in his history. So that's where I think those two fall.
There you go. That was Mark Dominic on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's got May 2nd. And then says, well, I think Kingsbury will go with Daniels, but, you know, he's got him ahead. And Rick Spielman basically said the same thing. But nope. You guys are good. Will Levis, don't need any good quarterbacks. Don't even need to entertain the idea. It's impossible. By the way, having a quarterback is not a marriage. Like, a marriage is supposed to be about love and, you know, the partnership and everything else. Quarterback is a transactional relationship. I'm drafting you to quarterback my team to win me games. And then when you win me games, I am going to give you $50 to $60 million a year in order to do it. That is transactional. Lamar Jackson wanted a trade because he wasn't getting his money. Does that mean that Lamar doesn't have respect for the Ravens? Or does it mean that this is a job and Lamar wants to be compensated for it? Well, that's what you're doing. You're finding the guy that can win you the games the most, and then you're paying them. And so if you think that there's somebody out there that can win more games for you than the guy you have, you take them. Because if you don't, somebody else will, and then they'll win the games that you want to win yourself. Let's go to your phones, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan in Antioch's up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Working on his fastball, I assume. Go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah, man, I was trying. I never played baseball. I couldn't dunk you, but it was a good attempt. But, yeah, I hope you guys get the draft show. I hope the NHL doesn't screw you guys over because it was awesome. Mark Hallard was great on that.
R.I.P.
So I don't think the Titans are in the quarterback market. And I'm not saying that Will Levis is the answer. Like, I don't know if he is or not. I think he has potential, but it seems like Amy really, really likes Will Levis. And she's kind of crazy like her dad, like Bud Adams, you know, they have the same DNA. And I don't know. She hires people all the time. So who knows what's going to happen. But I don't feel like that's a thing. And this is a take that's probably going to really make you mad. I would rather have Fuaga than Brock Bowers. I don't think tight end, you can't take a tight end that high. At 7, like, you got to shore up that offensive line. And so, that's just how I feel about it. No,
again,
go ahead.
I mean, if you, and Dylan, I appreciate your call. If you want to take the 13th or 16th or whatever best player in the draft at the 7th pick, that's your business. I don't. So I can't take Fuaga over Brock Bowers if Brock Bowers is, as I believe Rick Spielman has it, I think he has him as the seventh best player in the draft. I cannot take the 16th best player. I cannot take a guy who does not project to be a Pro Bowler over a guy who does project to be a Pro Bowler. And I will use the example of Jeffrey Simmons. The Titans needed a right guard when they went into the 2019 draft. They didn't need a defensive tackle. They had Jarrell Casey. They drafted Simmons. Do you regret that decision? The Titans didn't need a wide receiver. They drafted A.J. Brown. So nobody cares what your need was years ago. But again, you cannot take, you know, you cannot take a worse player with a good pick. On the front about the Titans not being in the quarterback market, shouldn't the Titans be in the market for every position every year? Like, isn't that what upgrading your roster is? You know, if we were to do this, you wouldn't have Tony Pollard, right? Because it'd just be like, la, 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 we have a running back. We're not interested in any of the other running backs. I mean, shouldn't you want to upgrade your roster all the time? I get the idea of Buffalo not being in the quarterback market or Kansas City or Baltimore not being in the quarterback market, but you're not Kansas City and Baltimore. So this idea of like, oh, yeah, I heard Paul say this today. The Titans aren't doing any homework on quarterbacks. Well, shame on them because they're paid to do the work at every position. Not, oh, yeah, you know, we'll take this one off. That's not how this works. And that's how you end up drafting Solomon Thomas, third overall, when you need a quarterback and Patrick Mahomes goes in the same draft. San Francisco's starting quarterback to begin the 2017 season was Brian Hoyer. The report is that San Francisco didn't do any research on the quarterbacks going into the draft. They had the second pick. They didn't do any research going into the draft on the quarterbacks because they just thought they were going to sign Kirk Cousins at the end of the year. Mahomes went in that draft. Frankie is up next here on our program, has been waiting patiently on Drake May. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Frankie.
My pleasure. You know, I've studied these drafts for a long time, and it's kind of silly to me to think that the Titans could even have a chance at Drake May based on he's going to go three and Minnesota's probably going to trade up and give up three number ones. So if you're talking about the Titans for 2 days trying to get Drake May, then you probably better talk about them giving up 5 or 6 years of drafting a quarterback, because that's the compensation it's going to get to a guy of that level. And for that sake, if you're Minnesota, it's an absolute steal if you get a franchise quarterback for those three ones, and it's a bust if he can't play. It all comes down to your scouting, whether you think the guy can play, and you think he can play, then you better start giving up some ones to jump in front of Minnesota on the three ones they're ready to give up.
Well, Minnesota has to jump in front of you, so it's not like you have to give more than Minnesota because you're ahead of Minnesota. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Thank you for your call. I agree with 95% of what you said. I mean, to be honest with you, I think Drake May's going with the second pick. I think that Washington is going to draft Drake May. And I agree. I think the whole idea of this discussion is moot because May won't be there. But again, these are the discussions that teams are having. Because while it'd be very easy for us to say, well, he won't be there, nobody thought Will Levis was going to be in the second round last year, including me. Nobody thought that. And so teams have to be prepared so that they don't end up on the clock trying to figure out, oh, well, we didn't prepare for this possibility. What do we do now? Again, that's what stupid teams do. That's like Paul again saying today, this team hasn't done any homework on quarterbacks. I hope he's wrong, because if they haven't done any work on quarterbacks, it confirms what I feel about this front office, which is they don't know what they're doing. You got to be doing the work on them all. It'd be crazy not to, you know, unless you're Kansas City, and you're not Kansas City. Glenn texts in and says, Levis beat Tua in a fourth quarter comeback. Does he not get credit for that? So I looked it up. You want to know how many wins Will Levis has as a starting quarterback as a rookie in the NFL? 3. You want to know how many fourth quarter comebacks Vince Young had as a rookie? 4. So if we want to anoint Levis the greatest quarterback of all time because of a fourth quarter comeback against Miami, let's not forget, that Vince Young did that 4 times. four fourth quarter comebacks for a guy who I have a hard time calling Vince Young a quote unquote bust, only because how many busts make the Pro Bowl twice? Will texts and it says, if I remember correctly, Callahan spoke at length about the difficulty of tracking three receivers for defenses. It's something he brought up in regard to Peyton Manning. In your opinion, is Bowers someone that can fit that mold? Certainly Neighbors or Adunze could. How much should we look at touchdown scorers with that in mind? I think one thing that I haven't done a very good job of is I haven't done a very good job of talking about what happens if Joe Alt's not there. Because then I think it does, you know, then it would lend itself to it being much more likely that the Titans will draft a touchdown scorer. I absolutely think that the receiver is an area of need for the team. I mean, you signed Calvin Ridley. Great. Calvin Ridley's like 30 years old. DeAndre Hopkins is well over 30 years old. Receiver is absolutely a need for this team. And it would not surprise me if the Titans ended up, say, Alt off the board, going in the direction of receiver or Bowers. You know, that, I mean, I think that to sit there and say, like, oh, no, they don't need a receiver. I mean, at that point, like, now you're trusting in Treylon Burks or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And it's like I was telling Chris Sanders when Chris Sanders was yelling and screaming about how Chig is a good tight end, which I don't believe. But it goes back to this idea that I have that is, if you want to keep giving chances to guys that have proven incapable of handling what it is that you want them to do, chances are, it's not for sure, but chances are, I would argue, that it is more likely than not that they're not going to be able to do that. So if you're like, well, you know what, we're okay with Chig at tight end and Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in the slot, you're probably going to get the same results that you've gotten over the years with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chig, Burks, Kyle Phillips, all those same old Scarbinis. Like, you're probably going to get the same results. I'd be shocked if you got better results. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Callahan can make some of these players better than they were, a little bit better, but again, not better than we don't need a receiver. I mean, that is a humongous leap. 615-737-1025, more your phones, 615-737-1025, plus, how do I say this right? It's a vibe. I think that's what I'll say. A vibe, word on the street, it's a vibe. We'll use vibe. It's a vibe I'm getting about a potential move that could affect the Titans roster. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Thoughts on the talent market? What are your thoughts on?
No, they're still good players. Players have played, you know, a ton of snaps in this league, but, you know, not to get too far ahead, but this tackle draft class is pretty deep. And so we're going to, you know, like we always do, we're going to find the best option for us, and hopefully we make the right decision.
Anyway, that was Rand Carthon, and so I will just say this. I think vibe's the right way to say this. A couple guys are texting into the text line about Andrus Peat and the Titans, saying, like, Jared, what about Andrus Peat? You know, if we don't end up getting Alt, what about Andrus Peat? I get the vibe that Andrus Peat, the former left tackle of the Saints, he's a left side of the line player, he's played left tackle, left guard. I get the vibe that there is some smoke to the Andrus Peat talk from earlier when he visited the team at the beginning of free agency. Now, the expectation, and I think I've done some digging, you know, so that I'm not just hearing one side of this, but the expectation is that Peat will probably sign after the draft. And the expectation I also heard is that Peat is not the only tackle that the Titans are looking at. So that there are free agent tackles that are out there. I don't know who, but that the Titans are looking at free agent tackles. And that could be, I don't know if that is, you know, well, they don't draft Joe Alt, then they sign Andrus Peat, or they sign this other guy, or what. I have no idea. I get the vibe that that is still very much alive. And that If the Titans end up not drafting Joe Alt, it would shock me if the Titans don't end up signing Andrus Peat. Now, again, I was told that it's more likely than not that Peat is probably going to sign after the draft. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Titans end up making a move on a tackle after the draft, a la Chris Hubbard last year. That being said, I would sign Peat now if I were the Titans. Now, if I was Peat, might have to lower the asking price a little bit, but I would sign him now because if worst case scenario, you sign Andrus Peat and you draft Joe Alt, and then you can move Peat to the right side and try him out there. Or if Nicholas Petit Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT wins the RT job, then you've got a backup swing tackle guard kind of thing that's not some Scarbini bum that's a guy that's actually played in the NFL. So that's what I would do. But again, I know that, you know, we haven't heard much on that front. And I just think that there is some truth or, you know, some meat on the bone to the Andrus Peat thing that there could be after the draft a signing with him and the Titans. And that the Titans also are looking at other tackle free agents that they could bring in here. Let's go to Kyle, who's up next here on our program. If Joe Alt is not there, Kyle, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Well, you stole my thunder. Everything you just said, I was seriously about to say. So I like Peat. I don't know a whole lot about him, but he does more of a old school limber.
Okay, I'm gonna
think right tackle.
All right, say that again.
I said that makes me think he would be a better right tackle rather than left tackle. But
well, Pete's never played on the right side of the line in the NFL.
Yeah, I know, but a veteran like him, I'm sure he could play some right guard if he had to, because our right guard situation isn't fixed yet either. So, like you said, swing tackle, guard, either way.
Well, he's not a guard. I mean, he's a left guard. I appreciate your call. He's a left side of the line player, right? Like, he's his entire career, he's been a left tackle, left guard. So that's what he is. And so to me, it's like, you know, he's your third tackle. And if something happens to your right tackle, you know, I did talk to somebody who told me that a coach of a team thinks that Alt could move to the right side. Maybe if that happens, you move Alt to the right side and you put Peat at left tackle, or maybe Peat can play the right side. I know that when Peat came for a visit, they were looking at him as a swing tackle. So maybe he can play the right side. I would like to see that done ahead of time. But again, the vibe I'm getting is that there still is very much some smoke surrounding the situation. Craig says, all last year I had to hear you cry, we need a left tackle, we need a left tackle. The Titans are now in a great position to get a prominent left tackle, but when it comes time to go shopping, you want to buy the pretty shiny dress instead of the heavy-duty shoes for stability. So wishy-washy. And then some real sexist comments in there. I'll say this to Craig's take. Quarterback is the most important position in the NFL. Quarterback. In fact, Ian, if you could, Bill Polian was on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And again, I think tackle's important too. I think a tackle is important. And the Titans right now don't have starters. But Bill Polian was talking about what general managers look for in the top 10. You know, for you guys out there last year that didn't think it was absolutely absurd for the Titans to draft a guard at 11, Bill Polian was on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Ian, if we got it. This is what Bill Polian said. This is the order of which they look for things in the draft.
Well, as a GM, you go through a process. When you're in the top 10, you want to pick one of the following. A quarterback, if he merits it, if he can lead you to the promised land. Two, someone who scores touchdowns. A running back, a wide receiver, somebody who can carry your team. Three, a person who can dominate the game on the defensive line of scrimmage, and that would include an edge rusher and a 3-4. Four, a guy who turns the ball over in the secondary, meaning a dominant corner who's got ball skills. And then five, if all else fails, a left tackle, if one who is there, who you can anticipate will be a Blue player throughout his career.
So when you say something like, you know, you want the shiny new dress instead of the heavy, dirty work boots, I'm like, no, I'm talking about a franchise quarterback. I'm talking about a franchise quarterback. The most important thing for a multi-billion dollar corporation. In fact, I'll ask you guys this question. You've got a choice. You can get the best GM, the best coach, or the best quarterback. But you can only have one. The best GM, the best coach, or the best quarterback. Ian, which one would you prefer?
Quarterback.
Everybody would prefer the quarterback. Levis might work, he might not work. Drake May, same way. But Drake May is a better prospect. Like that, every single team in the league passed on Will Levis, including you. And you passed on Will Levis not for a franchise quarterback, not so that you could draft a guy who scores touchdowns, not so you could draft a guy who turns the football over, not so you could draft a disruptor, and not so you could draft a left tackle. All the things Bill Polian just went over, you passed on Will Levis, and you didn't even get any of that. So when you just sit here and act like, yeah, Titans don't need, we don't even need to discuss if a potential franchise quarterback is available for the Titans. We don't even need to discuss it. To me, that's crazy talk. And yet, there are so many of you out there that are just so all in. One texter says, Brian Callahan has a real modern offense and an offensive line. Those guys could take a huge leap. It's not the same old anymore. Vrabel's strategy was ancient. And then he jokes, except for Phillips, he'll be out injured by game 5. You do realize Arthur Smith's offense that was so successful was a modern offense, right? And that it was the offense that Matt LaFleur brought over from the Rams. And that the reason why they elevated Todd Downing was so they could keep the same offense. So the Titans ran a modern offense. Now, I don't like this Earhart Perkins that they ran last year, but the Titans ran a modern offense under Todd Downing in 21 and 22. It just sucked because he sucked. But you guys act like Vrabel was living in the Stone Age when Arthur Smith was lighting up the scoreboard. That's just not true. You guys were living in reality then. 615-737-1025. We got more of your phones to get to here on the program. Coming up next, there's one thing that I don't think I've done a very good job of. And everybody seems to think this is possible, except for me. We'll do that coming up next. Hey, tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park, pregame 6:20. First pitch, 6:35. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And speaking of them Sounds, be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a 4-pack of tickets for the Sounds game against Omaha at First Horizon Park tomorrow. So good luck on that. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.